Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, we're running the continuation play today.
And we got to really continue it.
Yeah, we are. Talking about Trump.
I know, but some article.
Hillary.
The list. Oh, yes.
Well, we're going to talk about what a lot of other folk are talking about, and that's not why we're talking about it, because I was going to talk about it anyway, and it just turns out they got onto it before I did. I'm kind of slow to, you know, draw, so to pull the trigger.
Okay, let's go then.
Why voting for Donald Trump is morally a good choice? This is Wayne Grudem. We mentioned it yesterday. Talk of the town now. Not everybody's talking good about him, though some are. I didn't even read it right. Why voting for Donald Trump is a morally good choice. That's the title of Grudem's article. Everybody knows Wayne Grudem, right?
Well, most.
Mr. Theologian, the big systematic theology book that everybody reads.
The big green book?
No, that's Millard Erickson. That's Millard Erickson, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I told you yesterday we ought to bring J.P. Boyce's systematic theology back. We ought to do that. But that's a whole other subject.
Yes, you got to get to it today.
Yeah, we got to get to it. Here's Grudem. And, of course, it's this age-old argument. Everybody's talking about it. I talk about it with my pastor friends. I talk about it with my non-pastor friends. Everybody across the country's talking about it. And the evangelicals, a lot of them are saying you can't vote for Trump. Just not going to vote for anybody this time. I mean, it's a choice between the lesser of two evils, and evil is evil, and so I'm not going to vote for either one of them. And I understand that argument. You know, if Trump weren't where he's at on foreign policy, I'd be right there. But Grudem makes some good points.
Okay.
Now, Doug Wilson disagrees with him. Doug Wilson's one of those guys, a pox on both your houses, and basically says if evangelicals are willing to say that, then some of us evangelicals have to sit this one out, you know, otherwise you can't say a pox on both your houses. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Of course, he's up in arms not only about Grudem, and maybe not as much, but he's up in arms about Tabidi as well. You know Tabidi.
Yeah, but
Tabidi Anyabuwile.
I haven't read anything by him lately.
You know. Whenever I quote Tabidi Anyabuwile, you know why? Because I just like to say his name, Tabidi Anyabuwile.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. That was funny.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Hey, we're going to talk about Tabidi's article tomorrow. Hey, got to do it then. See, now I'm locked in. I'm dialed in. You got to hold me to it. Now, I'm not going to talk about it today, but tomorrow. You know why? Tabidi's voting for Hillary. Oh, my goodness. What in the world? You want to talk about a crazy election season? It's one thing to vote for Donald Trump, but he's going to be voting for Hillary.
Mm.
Yeah, his argument that is that a known evil is better than an unknown evil.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a Daggett. Wow. Hey, when do we get to hear Daggett? When the Olympics start? He's going to do the gymnastics call again this year, isn't he?
I don't know.
We got to see somebody's got to do a great jump or a great vault, and we got to hear Daggett go, wow. I love it.
All right, we got to get to it today, or we're not.
Yeah,
even get
well,
to it.
Here's the first thing out of the box. We mentioned Jonathan Merritt yesterday too, and how he criticized Wayne Grudem. Is he a theologian? His question was: is he a theologian, or is he somehow, some way now an expert in political science? Did he get a political science degree when we weren't looking? And basically said Grudem can't speak to this subject because he's not an expert in political science. Well, here we go. Right here at the top of the piece. Here's what Grudem says: as a professor who has taught Christian ethics for 39 years, I think, and by the way, he's talking about the people who say lesser of two evils, and they're both evil, and I just can't vote for the lesser of two evils. He says, I think their analysis is incorrect, and his area of expertise is Christian ethics. So there you go, Jonathan Merritt. Apparently, you can't read.
Well.
Anyway. But he goes on to say, now he puts this in a context. He wasn't a big Trump supporter earlier on. But he's saying now that Trump has won the nomination, I think voting for Trump is a morally good choice. He goes on to talk about how we need to be patient with each other and talk about, you know, our differences, et cetera. But, you know, we got to be thoughtful and you know, we got to contribute to the discussion. And so here's my contribution. And here's what we're going to do. There's no way we can talk about everything Wayne Grudem talks about. We just don't have that kind of time. We got too much silliness to engage in to do that.
Apparently, yes.
But we're going to hit the highlights, and okay, we're going to let folk read it.
All right.
This is just sort of like an appetizer. This is like sitting at the Outback and get you in a Bloomin' Onion.
I'm not a Bloomin' Onion
that
fan.
That dipping sauce. Well, the, look, this is good. You like the stuffed mushrooms.
Those are pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Get okay. you in the mood for that big Outback special.
Mm-hmm.
Or with the lobster tail. Or the chicken on the Barbie and the ribs. Woo!
Okay.
Okay, now look. He says that Donald Trump is a good candidate with flaws. In other words, he says, I don't think Donald Trump is morally evil. Well, he says, I don't think he's a morally evil choice.
Okay, I was going to say, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of folk are saying, you know, Trump is just evil, but I could vote for Romney, I could vote for McCain because, you know, they're not evil, but Trump is evil. And I'm going, what, wait a minute. What's your criteria for saying someone's evil or not? Well, Trump's an adulterer. Well, that's right. That's pretty evil. But, you know, I understand where they're coming from with, say, Mitt Romney, but he's never done anything righteous in his entire life. Do you realize that?
I do.
Not one single thing. Every single act that Mitt Romney has ever committed in his entire life is evil. Every single word, every single thought, evil. You know why?
He worships a false god.
Well, that's right. And the Bible says that even the plowing of the lost man is sin. You know why? Because you don't do it to glorify God. The Bible says the lost man cannot please God. So Mitt Romney's never done anything to please God in his entire life. How about that? How's that? That sounds like a definition of evil to me. But you know what? Most
just
of the evangelicals...
masquerading as an angel of light.
Yeah. Well, that's why evangelicals got to get their theology straight.
Yes.
We got to think like theologians instead of like the emotional, I don't know, hand-wringers that we are. And surface thinkers that we are. I'm not being ugly. Mm-hmm. Just issuing a challenge here. Now, I know there's a sense in which you could say that... that Mitt Romney has some character qualities
yes,
that are better
say,
than
yeah.
Donald Trump. And I would agree with that.
Yes.
But that's not what they say.
Yeah, I know.
So let's get it right. All right, look. So he says, Trump, though, this is Grudem. He says, I don't think that voting for a flawed candidate, he's a good candidate who's flawed, and I don't think that voting for a flawed candidate, if you think he'll do more good for the nation than his opponent, I don't think that's a morally evil thing to do. In fact, it is the morally right thing to do. And there's like two or three areas.
I agree with that statement, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah. But basically what he's saying, well, I'll come back to that. I don't want to give away what he's saying just yet. What he's saying is, if you don't vote for Trump, you're not doing the morally right thing. He does say that.
Yeah.
You got to vote for Trump or you're just not thinking right. That's fine. See, I think it's an issue of conscience. I think you vote for Trump or you sit it out or you vote for some, I don't know, third party candidate. I don't know who that might be, to be honest with you. You certainly don't vote for Hillary, though. That's sin. Sorry, Tabiti. Talk to you tomorrow. Even though I love you, brother. Anyway. He admits Trump, this is Grudem, Trump is egotistical, bombastic, brash. He lacks nuance often. Sometimes he blurts out mistaken ideas that he later must abandon. He insults people. He can be vindictive when people attack him. He's been slow to disown and rebuke the wrongful words and actions of some angry fringe supporters. He's been married three times and claims to have been unfaithful in his marriages. These are certainly flaws.
That was a quote, I guess.
I'm quoting him. These are certainly flaws.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I think any one of those was a flaw. He's been married three times and claims to have been unfaithful to his wives. These are certainly flaws, but I don't think they're disqualifying flaws in this election, he said. Now, listen, it's not that I shouldn't even say this, but
don't
I'm going to say it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not even like Sam Seaborn, who mistakenly slept with a prostitute.
That's terrible, yes. That's
I'm just saying, Trump didn't accidentally, I mean, he had ongoing extramarital adulterous relationships. That's not a flaw. That's evil.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to be on record as having said that in opposition to Wayne Grudem.
Well, he said it was a flaw. It's not opposition.
He did. He said it was a flaw. It's and look, I was going to come back and say, but I understand the tenor of what he's trying to say.
Okay.
I hear him. But you know what? Here's Wayne Grudem. He's writing with ethical nuance.
Okay.
And I don't know of anybody, and again, maybe he's not this precise. Maybe it just fell out this way. But I happen to think that he chose his words very carefully here. Don't know that anyone else has picked up on that. I picked up on it. No one else did. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that when you hear folk on television or when you hear folk in the blogosphere or see them, rather, in the blogosphere, hear them on the radio, you know, we always want to be reductionist. You know, we want to take the gist of what someone says and then build this huge case and say how stupid this person is. And that's not what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
So I want to point out his nuance.
All right.
And I've already said it, but let me read the last statement one more time. He says, these are certainly flaws, but I don't think they are disqualifying flaws in this election.
Okay.
Now, I don't know for a fact. He might be coming from where I was trying to come from yesterday. And I was saying, you know what? There are elections where Trump would be disqualified as far as I'm concerned. But in this election, I don't think he's disqualified.
And
that might be what Grudem's saying. Okay. Don't know. Just to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, had we known the difference that Obama was going to make to this country, the choice of Romney is much better than where we've gone.
Well, and we knew that too.
Yeah.
But we didn't know how far Obama was going to take it. So, yeah,
And Hillary's happy with that direction and moving even further. So.
Sure, and you're talking about
just everything,
the Supreme Court decisions and the executive orders and everything, the transgender, the lack, the destruction of religious freedom. We had no idea that was coming down the pike. Now, look, I did vote for Romney.
Yeah,
in a moment of weakness, I violated my conscience and voted for Romney. So, I don't have to apologize. You know, I didn't put Obama in office. Do over again, you know, where I'm coming from is I don't see a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And so, you know, I'm on record as saying if I had to do over again, I would not vote for Romney. But I hear your argument. Well, if you had a crystal ball and saw what was going to come down the pipe, would you have voted for Romney? Maybe so. Problem is, we don't have a crystal ball. We have to make our decisions based on what's in front of us, which is one of the points that Wayne Grudem is going to make. So hindsight's 20/20. So, yeah, I guess this point, certainly not ashamed that I voted for Romney, but it was in a moment of weakness. I'm just being honest. I would have, you know, the principal thing for me to do in that election was to sit it out, but I didn't.
But it's like you didn't know how evil Obama was.
No, that's true.
Would have been. And we know Hillary.
Yeah.
Is
Hillary?
Is
I hear
even
your point.
More
absolutely
out there than Obama as far as her ideas and where she wants to take this country. So, I'm talking for Grudem here.
No, that's Grudem's argument. You're absolutely right.
Where we're heading, and it's heading far fast.
Yes,
let's slow it down a little bit, please.
I was missing your point. You're absolutely right, and I'm in the same place. And of course, you know why I'm voting for Trump. I mean, it's because of his – he's not a neocon. That's it. You know, I just believe – I could be totally wrong. Hey, I could be totally wrong.
He's an egocon.
Yeah, that's right. But the neocons are destroying this country, whether it's Democrat, Hillary Clinton, or whether it's Republican. Neocons are destroying the nation as fast as Obama is. Mm-hmm. The nation can be destroyed in many different ways.
Yeah.
And Trump is not a neocon. He's not in favor of nation building or interventionism or preemptive war, the Bush doctrine. What an evil doctrine, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, from a Christian perspective.
Okay. I agree. We should agree.
Does Trump come there ideologically like I do? Well, no. He's saying we can't afford all of this. Well, okay, fine.
Which is true.
The result is the same. he's right. I mean, you're right. Yeah, he's right. You're right. We're all right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, Grudem says that he thinks that some of the accusations hurled against Trump are unjustified. I agree with him there. He's not a racist. You know, we're trying to paint him as a racist and a misogynist and all the rest. He's not. He's made some careless statements. But by all accounts, I mean, his employees and people who know him, they say he's not a racist, he's not misogynistic, he's very generous, he's very kind. Equal pay for equal work. He's got more women in managerial positions than men. On and on. Did you hear Ivanka the other night? I mean, come on. So for people to buy into these lies from the liberals is very sad. But anyway, we got to move on. Here's Grudem's argument, one of the other arguments that he made. He made several, and that's we're going to try to touch on most of them.
All right.
He says that, you know, the Bible tells us that Christians should seek the good of the nation. So he says, you know, and I've quoted this verse before. So I agree with Grudem here. Jeremiah 29:7, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare.
Where's that verse been?
Well,
I'm sorry.
We've talked about it.
I know we have. I'm just saying people that call on, you know, I'm just talking about being us in exile. We are.
Well, sure.
This is not our home. This is. Oh, that's a much better way to put it than if my people who are called by my name.
Oh, absolutely.
Applying that to the nation.
Yeah.
So
Peter says that we're exiles, right? And
yes.
Grudem points this out.
Yes.
But Grudem's point is that Christians today have a similar obligation to vote in such a way that will seek the welfare of America.
Yes.
Now, again, this is where I agree with that principle. For me, yes, we need to seek the welfare, but what he's saying is you have to vote, and you have to vote for Trump, or you're not doing that. And I disagree with that. I'm okay if you vote for Trump, but I still think it's a matter of conscience. I still think you can sit it out and not be in sin. That's all I'm saying.
That is true. I think you're right.
But he says the question that we have to ask is, which vote is most likely to bring the best results for the nation? Not a bad question. And again, he's an ethicist, Jonathan Merritt, so he has a right to go down this to go down this road, and I commend him for it. It's bold and brave, like I said yesterday. Yeah. So basically he says the election's going to be close, and so the real question that Christians should ask is, can I in good conscience act in a way that helps a liberal like Hillary Clinton win the presidency?
Yeah, that was... See, I hadn't even read the article, and that's what I fear.
Whoa. Well, of course.
We are, you know, talk about maybe having to flee as a Christian.
Yes.
We're heading that way fast.
Yes. So he talks about all of the evil that's been perpetrated upon us by Obama. We don't have time to chronicle that. We certainly do that in other contexts.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, therefore, I feel the force of the words of James 4:17. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. See, he's really
pushing. Yes.
You got to vote for Trump, or you're in sin. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying, come on, guys.
So anyway, I'm going to leave that up to the individual conscience.
How bad could it be?
He says you can't stand on the sidelines. He quotes Obadiah 1:11. He says, on that day you stood aloof. On that day foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem. You were like one of them.
Whoa.
Ouch.
That's a good one. That's a good one for your sideline churchgoers.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I think I need to quote Bodie Balkum here. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch.
That's a good one, too.
So maybe I want to say amen. Bodie. Wonder who Bodie is voting for.
Bodie's in Africa, isn't he?
He is now. That's right. He's in a new ministry. Bodie ain't got to worry about who he's voting for.
It's almost
as fun to say Bodie and boating together as it is fun to say Tabiri Anya Bawile.
Okay.
I told you we had too much silliness.
Okay.
To get to, yes. To talk about this entire article in 30 minutes.
There is a verse that says, laughter doeth good like a medicine.
That's right.
So here we are. If you can't say anything good, let's laugh about it.
That's right. You can't say amen, you ought to laugh. No. All right, now look, he goes on to talk about, Grudem paints this dreary picture. And a lot of people say, oh, that's over the top, that's unfair. You know what?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
I think he's dead on. He paints a picture of what is going to be like if Hillary Clinton gets the presidency with reference to
Planned Parenthood. That's what
she
said.
Well, that's right. With reference to the Supreme Court, and not only the Supreme Court, all those other courts where the president makes appointments. She would quickly replace Justice Scalia with another liberal like Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, or Kagan. This would give liberals a 5-4 majority, even without Kennedy, and a 6-3 majority when he votes with them. He goes on to talk about the fact that Ginsburg is 83 years old. Yesterday I said she was 90. I apologize. I wasn't talking about her looks. I just thought she was 90. She's 83.
She's had a hard life.
She's had colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, and has a heart stent. Now, Kennedy's 80. Breyer's 78. Anyway, the point that he's making is that Clinton could appoint 1 to 3 to 4 justices, which would ensure leftist activist judges for the next 30 years. She could add dozens of activist judges to federal district courts and courts of appeals, the courts where 99% of federal lawsuits are decided. Judicial tyranny of the type we've seen when abortion rights and same-sex marriage were forced on the nation would gain a permanent triumph. He says, you got to stop that. He's persuading me. The nation would no longer be ruled by the people, but just by these judges. This election is not just about Hillary, etc. He goes on. We got to move quickly. He goes on to talk about abortion. He says the court could find an absolute right to abortion in the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, sweep away with one decision most or all of the restrictions on abortion that pro-life advocates have worked tirelessly for over the last 43 years, including ultrasound requirements, waiting periods, parental consent requirements, prohibitions on non-doctors performing abortions, etc., etc., etc. You know, when they handed down the Obergefell decision, you know, lots of things just went right out the window. All of these same-sex or definitions that states had come up, one man, one woman, that's the definition of marriage, that the states had come up, all that went out the window with the Supreme Court decision. Right. That's what he says is going to happen with abortion. Transgender.
And other things, yes.
And other things.
We haven't even thought about gun control, I'm sure.
Well, that's it. So he says religious liberty is going to be gone. Liberal court is going to increasingly nullify rights of conscience with respect to forced participation in same-sex marriage ceremonies.
Schooling.
Et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Education.
That's right. My. The schools are going to change. The colleges are going to change. A lot of colleges are going to be put out of business because their policies will be seen as discriminatory. Hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs will be off limits to Christians going forward because they won't be able to act like the pharmacist couple. The Supreme Court refuses to hear the appeal. These folk are being put out of business by the U.S. government. The U.S. government is shutting down businesses because of a political agenda.
That's right.
And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And he gives on to give account after account after account where people, because of their personal beliefs, have been forced out of businesses, forced out of jobs. Look, doctors, pharmacists, business owners, etc. And he says, look, are my predictions about this kind of loss of religious liberty too grim?
Nope.
They are not. And not only that, he says that 3 Supreme Court justices agree with them. And I don't have time, but he quotes them and he's absolutely right. He's not painting a picture too grim. He's painting an accurate picture.
Wow.
See, he's doing his homework. Anyway, Christian business owners are going to be targeted. Hobby Lobby, Hillary Clinton gets in, they're going to go out of business. They're surviving now by a 5-4 decision. But if Clinton gets to replace Scalia, That whole deal is going to be reversed, and they've already said if they have to provide abortifacients, they're shutting the door. And this is what the government, they want to shut it down. This is Hillary Clinton's America. Have you seen the movie, by the way? Dinesh D'Souza? Hillary Clinton's America?
No,
I haven't.
No, no.
Got to go see it. You mentioned Christian schools and colleges. Grudem mentions that. Churches. Freedom of speech.
We're already
going out the window. They want to make it illegal to, pray non-sectarian, I'm sorry, sectarian prayers.
Sectarian prayers.
Yeah. Dissent will be criminalized. In other words, if much political dissent. He says, we've already seen it happen with the IRS targeting of conservative groups.
Yep.
Some state attorneys general taking steps to prosecute groups who dare to disagree with activist claims about the danger of man-made global warming. So here's a statement by Grudem. I like this. Quote, but my conscience won't let me vote for Donald Trump, some have told me. But I wonder if their consciences have considered the gravity of these destructive consequences that would come from a Clinton presidency. A vote for Trump would at least be doing something to prevent these things. Then he goes on to give several positive reasons why he wants to vote for Trump. And again, Trump has released a list of 11 judges to show the kind of nominee he would appoint to the Supreme Court. These are all originalists.
Wow.
He says, such a court would likely overturn Roe v. Wade. Don't know about that, but it's certainly possible. He says, certainly religious liberty would be upheld. I'm really skipping through. We're running out of time. We're gonna have the ability to influence politics, the freedom to influence politics. Trump has talked about working to repeal the Johnson Amendment. We've talked about that before. And then Grudem answers some objections. How can we know that Trump won't change his mind? Because Trump has changed his mind on certain things. Well, here's the reply. He says, we can never know the future conduct of any human being with 100% certainty, but in making an ethical decision like this one, we should base the decision on the most likely results. In this case, the most likely result is that Trump will do most or all of what he has said.
And you know why I think that's true? It's because he's such an egomaniac.
Well, sure.
He doesn't want to have a bad name as a president.
No, he wants to succeed. That's exactly right. And Grudem says that candidates in the history of American politics, candidates who have been elected president has occasionally changed their minds on one or another issue while in office, but no president has ever gone back on most of what he's promised to do, especially on issues that are crucially important in the election. In this election, it is reasonable to think that the most likely result is that both Trump and Hillary will do what they have promised to do. That is the basis on which we should decide how to vote. And he says Trump is changing his mind, sure, but he's moving in a more conservative direction.
Yes.
And he says Trump is going to lower taxes. Hillary's going to raise taxes. Trump cited all the problems for minorities that he's going to solve. Trump wants to strengthen our military, shore up our borders. He wants to deal a death blow to ISIS and terrorism. He wants to support Israel. He's for opening up the Keystone Pipeline. He wants to overturn executive orders and the whole bathroom issue. He wants to leave it the way it was. He's going to repeal Obamacare. In other words, Grudem is saying you got to vote for Trump. Interesting, huh?
Interesting.
You've been listening
to
talk
to Dabidi.
An analysis of news, Anya culture, Bawile. Theological
tomorrow.
Trends,
tomorrow.
From a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.